got it on. Okay. You know, this is the only place when I go supply priest that spells my name right. Nobody else gets it right. Either the first or the last one, either one. But that's all right. That's his home for me. Let's have a word of prayer as we start this morning. Most precious Lord, it is an honor and a privilege to just be in this place, to be with these people, to worship you, to lift up your name, and just declare who you are, to praise you, and to worship you. So now, as we enter into this time when we're going to look at God's Word, may the Holy Spirit just take over this place. May He fill my mouth with the words that He wants me to speak. May He give us the ears to hear what God has in for us this day. We thank you and we praise you and we give you all glory. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be over in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read a couple of different places in Matthew 6. One morning, this lion woke up in the jungle, and he decided, you know what? I'm going to let everybody know I'm still the king around here today. So that lion, he headed out, and first person he ran across was a monkey. When he came up to that monkey in his loud, roaring voice, he said, "Who's the mightiest in the jungle?" Well, that monkey, with fear and trembling, said, "You are, sir. You're the master." Well, the lion went on down the road, and he come across a wildebeest. When he got up to that wildebeest, he says again, "Who is the mightiest animal in all of the jungle?" Well, that wildebeest, with fear and trembling once again, quivering, said, You are, master, you're the mightiest." Well, that lion, he headed on down the road, and about that time, he come up to an elephant. He met up with that elephant, and he roared in his biggest, loudest, hardest voice, "Who is the mightiest animal in the jungle?" Well, the elephant reached down with his trunk, grabbed him, beat him up against the tree a few times, slammed him on the ground, and then threw him and walked off just real nonchalantly. Well, that lion, he turned and he hollered out at that elephant, "All right, there's no need to get nasty about it just because you don't know the right answer to my question." You know, we all want to be the king or queen of our kingdom. You know, that's just part of our human nature and who we are. And when reality, though, the way to really find that true peace, that true sense of joy is when we let God have rule of our kingdom. We live for His kingdom and not ours. And when we make that our priority in life, then we understand what God can do for us. When we surrender to His kingdom and His will, it's amazing what God can work out and how God can make life so much easier. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus taught us this prayer. It goes like this: "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus gave the disciples and us that prayer as an example of kingdom prayers and what we're to be praying. But, you know, even though we've been given the example and we've been taught what we should be doing, each and every one of us here at one time or another has said or thought, "I'm going to do it my way and you're going to do it too." That's just the way it is. There's no other way around it. We all understand kingdom language. Even a two-year-old, their favorite words are what? "Mine? No." I mean, you could have two little kids together playing in the room and be just as content, as happy as they ever could be. And then one little kid will look over and see that other one is playing with their toy, and all chaos breaks out. I mean, it's got to change. I want that toy no matter what. Even though they've been happy playing with theirs, it becomes something that's got to be, "I want it. It's mine." Why? They're being the ruler of their world. They're living for their kingdom. And as we grow older, we still play that same game. We just play it in a different way. You know, it's my way or the highway. You do as I say, not as I do. Your kids have probably heard you say that. I know my boys did growing up. So it's just the way we are. But you know what? When we have these earthly kingdoms, they become very fragile. they're very easy to tear apart and to tear down. And sometimes they're often very exclusive. And over time, everybody's kingdom is going to clash with somebody else's. That's just the way human nature is. We want to have it and have others do it our way. Because our way is the right way, right? Sure it is. You know, strictly if you're a perfectionist and have a little OCD, you're the only one that knows how to do it. You have to do it my way or the right way. And if you don't do it, what happens? You get angry. Your feelings get hurt. You get upset. So you take your toys and go off and sulk someplace. You know, I'm telling the truth. I do it, you do it, we all do it. It's just a part of who we are. But you know what? Jesus describes for us what God's kingdom is and the peace that we can understand and have when we learn to allow Him to be in control of our lives. When we surrender our kingdom to God's kingdom, it's so much easier. Life gets so much better. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus shows us exactly what God's kingdom is. Now, I'm going to read the New Living Translation this morning, so it's going to read a little different. So I tell you, don't worry about the food or the drink that you need to live, or about clothes and your need for your body. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Look at the birds in the air. They don't plant or harvest or store foods in the barn, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And you know that you're worth much more than the birds. You cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it. And why do you worry about clothes? Look at how the lilies in the field grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves. But I tell you that even Solomon in his riches was not dressed as beautifully as one of these flowers. God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, but tomorrow is thrown in the fire. So, you can be even sure that God will clothe you. Don't have so little faith. And don't worry and say, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? The people who do not know God keeps trying to get these things. And your Father in heaven knows you need them. Seek first His kingdom and what God wants, and then all your other needs will be met as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Pretty powerful words that Jesus said. And He gives us a guidance on how we need to give God our kingdom. He gives us another one of those promises that we can build our life upon in this passage too. That promise is this: seek first God's kingdom and what God wants, and then all your other needs will be met as well. You know, when you make it a priority to surrender your will to God's will, it's amazing how much easier life gets. When you make that your priority and you pursue His kingdom and His will, you find peace. It's as simple as that. That's what it's all about. The struggles to one-up one another goes away. Because you're not trying to build up your kingdom, you're letting God build it up. You're letting God's will be control of your life. And when we learn to pursue His kingdom and His righteousness, I promise you all your needs will be given to you. You cannot outgive God. There is no way. You just can't do it. He's bigger and better and got more things and more resources than you do. If He wants to, He can sell all those cattle on the hills and provide all that He needs. So you need to understand that when we allow Him to be in control, we let His kingdom be what we live for, then we learn to pursue that. And when we start pursuing it, God's going to supply everything. It'll be through a job. It could be through your family. It could be your church. But He'll supply all your basic needs for food, drink, and clothes. Your basic needs, not your extravagant needs. He'll make certain you got clothes to wear and food to eat. It may not be exactly what you want, or it may not always be steak or shrimp or lobster or something like that, but He will provide. I can tell you stories about when we left here and went to seminary. I had two teenage boys, and one of them had cystic fibrosis, and he eats like a horse. Well, there were some days that we'd get up in the morning, and after breakfast, my wife and I were wondering, where's the next meal going to come from? Because there wasn't nothing. And somehow, some way, somebody would bless us, either with some money or with some food. And this one man, he always would go to the grocery store, and he'd go get all the old throwaway vegetables and things that were damaged, canned goods and stuff, and he'd bring them up to the seminary and lay them out. There's many a day we ate pinto beans and fried potatoes from what that man brought. But we always had the food that we needed. We were able to keep Jeff full, and that was a chore in itself, let me tell you what. So now, listen again to Matthew 6:33, and this time I'm going to read the NET translation. It says this, "But above all, pursue His kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." But above all, pursue His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So when we make that our priority, then our life gets easier. Well, you're probably saying, okay, preacher, how do you do that? You know, you got all the answers right here, and you're telling us we need to do this. Well, the first thing you learn to do every day is pray kingdom prayers. Jesus gave it to us, did He not? No. He told us exactly what we're supposed to pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debtors as we forgive them. You know, all of those things are things that if we learn to pray that and let God have it, He'll take care of the rest of it. So He gives you not only the instructions of what you're how to do, He also tells us how to do it. That's one of the things that's so wonderful about the Bible. You know, God invites us to allow Him to rule our lives, to surrender our will to His control. And I know it's not easy. Life can be difficult. Life can be hard. But when we learn that promise and stop going around like the lion roaring, then we can overcome the battles that we have before us. We can beat those elephants of this world. I call them anxiety, worry, anger, and self-centeredness. When we let God be in control, all of those things go away. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry. That anger that we feel because somebody is better than we are, so to speak, but we're all made in the likeness of God, and we stop pursuing our self-centeredness. When you do that, and you seek every day to surrender your kingdom to God's kingdom and allow Him to be in control, you find peace. You find joy. They just fill your life. And you know, we've also been given another gift by Jesus to help us to do that. I talked about it here a few weeks back in John chapter 14, verse 26. It says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said." You see, that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is how we can learn to surrender. When we surrender to it and we let the Spirit control our lives, when we make that third part of the Trinity an everyday part of us and ask Him to give us wisdom, to help us overcome our struggles, to learn to let God's kingdom be in control, to let everything rest at God, it happens. You know, God's awesome and Jesus is so loving. But the power to live out our lives surrendered to God, it comes from that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We got to let that happen. You need to understand that. You know, in the Bible, there's over 100 references to the Holy Spirit. Do you think maybe Jesus and the disciples were trying to get us to understand what happens? As a matter of fact, even today, if we were following the church calendar that's out there, today is the day of Pentecost. Today is the day many years ago when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples. Peter went out and preached his sermon, and over 2,000 people were saved that day. So how was that happening? It happened by the Holy Spirit. When they let the Holy Spirit have control, He took over. And when we give the Holy Spirit control, we find a sense of unity, of power, and He gives us supervision, and He helps us to learn to live that holy life that God has set us apart to do. It's so important that we understand that. When you give Him control, He lets you learn how to live in God's kingdom. He will show you how to do it. He will teach you. And the Holy Spirit, it's not like we don't have it. Every believer has it. When by faith you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get that indwelling presence. It's there, and it's up to you to learn to tap into it. From the point that you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have been given the very power and the personality of God in your life. It's available to you, so why not use it? You know, why not make it a resource that you tap into every day? And when you do that, then you start to get the gifts of the Spirit. You know, you get all of these wonderful things: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't it be awesome if every day those things filled your life? Well, they can, when you learn to surrender and give God control. These attributes appear in our life much like fruit does. You know, when an apple starts growing on an apple tree, it's dependent upon the tree. They have a relationship with each other, right? That tree provides the nutrients and the water and everything that it needs other than the sun for that fruit to develop and to grow. Well, the same thing goes for us. When we stay attached to the vine, which is Jesus, and we let Him be in control of our life, He feeds us. He gives us the spiritual nutrients and the things that we need to develop and to grow and to become the Christian He wants us to be. He fills us with the Spirit and lets us know the fruits of the Spirit: joy, love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those nutrients flow into our lives when we get out of the way and let God be God, when we understand what it comes with, the gift of salvation. And you see, the gift of salvation, it's not some mysterious, hard thing to receive. The Bible makes it very clear how to accept Christ as your Savior. It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. Don't make it more difficult than it is. It's not some complicated thing. If you confess Jesus is Lord and you believe by faith that God raised Him from the dead, you receive Him as your Savior. And when that happens, you get that indwelling presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can learn how to live your life according to God's will and God's kingdom. You know, I don't know about you, but when joy and peace kind of flow around, it sure feels better than anxiety, worry, and all of those other things that come along in this world. Don't let the elephants beat you up like the lion did, but learn to let God be in control. And when you do that, you'll find out what the fruit of the Spirit can really do and really bring to you in your life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You so much for the Word of God. I thank You for all the tremendous amount of promises that are in the Word of God. And if we learn these promises and apply them into our daily lives, it's amazing what God will be able to do. He can do things that we never even thought, because with God, nothing is impossible. And Lord, help us to not worry about what clothes we have, or if we look better than other people, or if we're living the life that, you know, the right thing, and we're above all others, if we have the best car, the best house. That's not what life is about. Life is about your kingdom and your will. So, Lord, help us to put all of that aside and your will be done in our lives. Father, we give this time of invitation to you. May you be lifted up. And if there's one here who needs to be ministered to be prayed with, or to receive that gift, may you prompt them and touch them. Holy Spirit, move them out. Help them to come and accept you. We ask this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.